We follow tradition of Vaishnava school, which is Vaishnava means Vishnu, means God. See, in the Western world, we have very abstract idea who God is, whether he has father, son, mother, brother, mother married or divorced, one only son. But in the Vedic tradition, everything's much more clear and much more complicated. Because God is ultimate, he has so many expansions, so many forms, so many avatars. And obviously, to understand that is required to go deep in spiritual science. But you cannot understand it with your material mind. It's revelation. In other words, Supreme can reveal himself according to his own desire. The question is, if you have inner inquiry. Right. But have you, my question is, have you had like any internal revelation which is answer your internal inquiry?
Just peacefulness, connectedness, okay. Love, yeah. Yeah. Yes. No, no specific belief system as such.
Right. I'm not trying connection. To bring this on a level of belief system because we have to get to that level, take yeah. some time. What about you? If you can also say your name, was nice.
My name's Mavanwi.
Okay, well,
divine revealing it or himself mm-hmm. has been amazing. Through guidance.
Right.
Through, like you were saying, in everything that we're seeing around us, mm-hmm. in the atmosphere.
Yes.
Knowing that I am connected. To what, whom, I'm not sure. All I know is it's awesome and I'm enjoying the journey.
Okay, that's fair enough. It's very deep. Yes, sir. What about you? Well, how is it revealed to you?
Through you, Maharaj. Through my gurus, through Goswami Maharaj. Through your walls, your teachings.
I think before I met you in Rome, you already was kind of martial artist and practice spiritual practice. I don't want some. Yeah, because we can sometimes be inspired by someone, but my question is about what your inner inspiration, how is it answered to you?
Because I want to understand the meaning of life.
Okay, that's good.
That's my first question.
Okay, like I'm smoking pot and I want to understand the meaning of life. Maybe I should smoke more. Or, hey, I have to drop my cigarette and run away. I mean, how is it? I mean, I'm just I want to know, what is it your specific experience?
That we are, my specific experience, that we are much more than we think to be. That okay. we are, there is much more beyond our
okay.
plain existence, much okay. more beyond our mind.
Okay.
And that everything we do and we experience must have a final destination.
Okay, that sounds good. The reason I said about smoking pot, because when I was 23 years old, I was an artist. And I've been working with some other artists. And of course, we were smoking together in New York. And then I asked my friend, I believe you know more than I do. And my friend told me, yes. I said, how come? And he gave me Bhagavad Gita. He said, because I've read that book. So to me, it's been revealed through association and study of Bhagavad Gita. But it was not just like study as academic study. You know, I just read that book. It just blew my mind. And I had to read every sentence for like maybe 1 month. So it wasn't like everything went inside and basically, whatever my internal inquiry I had towards divinity been revealed through that book. I wouldn't say I understood completely. It's an infinite book, but it was a lot. It was a lot. What about you, sir? The Marvel hair style?
Everything is revealed in my natty dreadlocks.
Okay.
Cut off
all right.
Sacrifice to the unlimited.
I mean, we just want something.
Okay.
We know you're actor, but we need something real.
My sincere statement, I don't think I've had any divine revelations in this life, but I've met people that have.
Okay.
So that's
Just my question is about your internal inquiry.
Ah.
If you don't have internal inquiry, there's no purpose of meeting anyone. You can just pass by. You must have something that lead you to meet someone or to make it here or make it everywhere. I mean, thank you so much.
I think as a search for just simply trying to find a way out of suffering.
Oh, that's good. That's what I want to draw something real. See, because somebody being revealed out of curiosity, somebody out of suffering, it has to be something inside that move you, some inquiry or motivation. Otherwise, you know, most people don't just suddenly wake up and change their perception of reality. What about you?
Right now, I am looking for an answer to how I should, what I should do.
Okay.
And this is because I feel like I can do a lot of things and then offer, but that's not necessarily what I have to do. And I feel like I'm looking for that answer right now.
Wonderful. So tonight we'll try the method of Socrates. See, Socrates had his own method that he developed because he was very like pain in the neck person. And why he was pain in the neck person? Because he rather give answers to people. His method was to inquire them, to ask the question, and to lead somebody towards conclusion. Like, for instance, Socrates would never say to somebody that he's stupid because that would be like offensive and not real. But anybody think he's stupid? A few like, but you see, if Socrates tell you publicly you're stupid, you won't be able to admit your ego. It's not gonna. But he would say, "What do you think? Who we are? Are we like smart or stupid?" You say, "I don't know." Then let's define what is the smart person quality. And you know, we start speaking about intellectual, being able to measure, understand things, and be common sense. And then he would say, well, how much in our life we are that? I say, well, you know, not every day, not every moment, rare. Then he would lead us to understand we're not very smart. I mean, stupid means not very smart. You cannot call yourself stupid. It's like, okay, I'm not stupid. But you can also say, I'm not very smart. So Socrates would make you go that road to conclude something. And that's a wonderful method because it gives you a way to deal with yourself beyond your ego. Remember, because the ego is the biggest enemy. Or like just before I came here, I've read the book Seneca about anger. And he's giving a whole book on anger. And he's just actually explaining, whatever you experience anger, don't think anger will help you. It's not going to help you in battlefield. It's not going to help you in family. It's not going to help you in business. It's not going to help you even if you're doing nothing. And what he would say is, a lot of people think, then why do I have the anger? Why God give me that anger? Just to realize that it's not your friend. It's amazing. So we have things that we need to realize, we need to give them up. Like anger, hate. Like we think, oh, if I just hate people, it will motivate me. And actually he explained, no, it's not. You never get motivated by hate. Then he said, well, a lot of people, like a government, people need to punish people. How do you punish them? He said, never you punish anybody with hate. You only punish somebody, you know, brutal punishment only for somebody that you just relieve from yourself. Like, death sentence means this person suffering more from himself than, it's like offering death, it's meant to offer a solution. But he said, it's like doctor cutting limb, first doctor trying to treat. But if there's no treatment, he said, okay, you need an operation. So very interestingly, so we are in that scope of things that we need to define what is good, what is bad, what we're going for. But here's an interesting thing. Unless we understand divine principle of absolute, what is absolute, it will be very difficult for us to measure ourselves towards that idea and ideal. Just give you an example. So you have coconut. It's very simple comparison, coconut to lemon. Why? I can put here lemon, I can put here coconut. I'd say, you know, coconut maybe 20 times bigger than lemon. It's very easy to compare myself with that house because it's a three-story house. But if I tell you, can you compare yourself with 3 billion-story house, what will you say? You say, I don't have any measurements. I cannot conceive universe. I cannot measure, you know, infinity. But you need to measure yourself towards an ideal, because we always want to measure ourselves towards an ideal, like ideal beauty, ideal kindness. We have Miss Africa, Miss India, right? What's the most beautiful women in Africa? Maybe there are other beautiful women at this point, but in contest, we need to identify it. What is the ideal person? How does that ideal person look? How does that ideal person behave? So now every one of you said one interesting thing. It's divinity is infinite, unlimited. However, it does have limits. Why? Because when it deals with you, like supposedly God is omnipresent, multi-dimensional, blah, 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 blah. God is whatever you can put in this word. It's never will measure idea of God. But at the same time, as our gurus say, if he wants to reveal himself, then he also can do that. Otherwise, like, he's unmeasurable. Yes, you cannot measure him, but he can measure himself. You cannot understand him, but he will let you understand him. Remember, being omnipowerful means you can do everything, even reveal to yourself to stupid people. You can reveal yourself to smart people, but even the smart people compared to you is just like an insect. You know, what insect can understand about me? Let's say I have in my colon some microbe who's thinking part of my liver or like my colon is a universe, right? He might be living inside me and thinking, I'm living in a universe. Like, maybe life and death, maybe his life full cycle is like 1 minute or 1 second. What would be his conclusion about me? He has like 1 second to live inside of my stomach. Yeah, most like he's my, you know, bacteria, which help me to digest. But I can digest without one bacteria, no problem. What would be his realization about me? Would he really believe that at this very moment I'm speaking with other living beings, infinitely powerful than him, living longer time, more conscious? Of course not. But as Guru Maharaj would say, if Absolute wants to reveal himself to you, he absolutely can do that. See, everybody understands God is infinite, but very few people understand, yes, being infinite, he can still reveal himself to finite. And therefore, to start this conversation, I ask every one of you, what was your realization? How you're been answered your internal inquiry, and did it happen to you? And I'm sure every one of here has an incredible story. And actually, what you told me is like half truth. There isn't half truth because you haven't thought deeply. Like, when did you first time start thinking about spirituality or God or yourself? It's very hard to define because we've done it more than once. It's not like you're just, you know, I never thought of God, I never thought of myself, I never thought of space around me. No, you have in different stages of your life, when you was a child, when, you know, you grew up, and, you know, most time in your life you try to survive, but when you're not in surviving mood, where you're not in mood, like, you know, get busy, that very rare moment, I can say a very rare moment, you would sometimes look at stars and have some, wow, divine perception. Yeah, it's infinite sky. And at the same time, you would think, somehow I can conceive that infinite sky also is inconceivable, even through my imperfect senses. So having imperfect senses does not mean that we are limited to understand divinity. If, according what our teacher said, divinity will reveal himself, just give it to me, otherwise you're scaring me out like this. It's going to be fine, don't worry. Look a little ugly, but it's okay. I'm not trying to win contest. So, otherwise it's like horror movie, like light is always like... Oh, just fix light over there. I'm sorry. We're always doing films together. It happens to be like horror movie a lot of time because when you start moving light, your character like, sounds like, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so we took a little break just to see, the purpose of this meeting not to convince you in anything. Because if I will try to convince you, it means I'm trying to make a sell. The purpose of this meeting, we're not trying to sell cosmetics or health product, or we're not even trying to sell any ideas, because the idea itself is so deep and profound that you just can't buy it right away. You have to think of that. You have to process through your heart. But the purpose of this meeting for us is to share and to exchange possibility. See, it's all, it begins with possibility. What is the difference between scientists and believers? Actually, not so much. If you really meet scientists and he will present his idea to another group of scientists, he would say, let's suppose. See, in the spiritual world, you say, oh, we're a believer, let's believe. But scientist doesn't like word believer because it sounds like religion. So he exchanged word believe to word suppose. Let's suppose, you know, there's a planet, sun, which is blah, blah, blah miles from here. And we can only suppose. Because right now we cannot see sun or some exoplanet or some other universe. So it's all begins from idea to expect your senses little deeper and to imagine something. At this point, just imagine. Just what we say, let's suppose God exists. Let's not even go to word God because it's a very European idea. It has completely different meaning for different civilizations, right? By the way, Jesus was democratically elected. You know that, huh? It was one of the meetings where they just couldn't get it, who the God is, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Mother, the Brother. Do you know that Jesus had brother? I mean, very few people know about that. But anyway, I was just... Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, like, supposedly, we all have relatives. And they're not in the scope of vision. But he was democratically elected because some people said we kind of need to ally our belief into one thing. If there's like Holy Spirit, Mother, Father, Brother, it's too much for us. We just need to have one primitive idea which we can promote, like a product, iPhone. You know, if we say iPhone is a combination of so many softwares and so many applications and it's functioning like TV, like typewriter, and function like this and that, people will not buy it. It's just you're talking too many things. So when Steve Jobs came up with an iPhone, he said it's ultimate phone, which beyond the phone you think. So when we're talking about the concept of God, it's ultimate infinite, just like iPhone, it has so many features, it has so many functions, so many qualities. But everything in absolute, ultimate way that you can't even compare to your own perception what the phone is. So our personal perception what the God is has nothing to do with the God is in reality, right? But here's one interesting thing. What is the center of reality? What is the most powerful quality that we all seeking in our heart? Huh?
Love.
Love.
I would say awareness.
Awareness. Awareness of
knowing.
All right, to know. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's actually quality of our consciousness to be aware. Really, some people want to drink and lose their awareness because they have no love. See, the way I trust women more because they're very direct. They know without love, there's no awareness. It's suffering. I will explain why, but... But what is love? Let's talk about that. Anybody ever loved anyone? Like, I love my tea. Is it love? Well, how can we properly define word love, how we can properly use word love? Natasha.
Somebody said sacrifice.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, finally we realize it's unplugged. It's okay. I look like a pilot anyway. Please. All right. Well, give an example.
It's warm and it nourishes you and it quietens something inside you when you feel complete for that. So I could say yes, there is an essence of love when you sip that warmly made tea.
But is there love of your mother or your child is equal to love of cup of tea?
I think we tend to express love for mental understanding in different ways, but at the essence, I think it's, from my perspective, what I feel is the same feeling.
Right.
And to put it into words or to put it into my experiences, I divide it. Mother's love, husband's love, this love, love for tea, and I divide it. But at the inner reflection is kind of the same.
Right. But why are you dividing it?
I divide it because it gives me
Would you ever say your mother... I love you as much as I love my cup of tea.
No, I would not say that because then it would not give me experiences. And I believe there's a part of me that still craves experiences. Okay. And for that, I need to divide.
Right. So that means there's definition, word love. It cannot be the same. Anybody else?
I think love is our ultimate goal in life.
Okay.
That's what I believe. Because we're not experiencing the full spectrum of it.
Okay.
So therefore, I can't express it either.
Right.
So for me, that's the journey, really.
Right. But interestingly, although we cannot fully express it and experience, we're still searching nonstop. We never stop search for it, right? Sir, what about you? Something about love you can share with us?
I've been thinking while you're talking, just a connectedness.
Right.
I can't think of any other word. Feeling connected.
That means to me, if you do experience love, not only you connect it, you also want to share with others.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, I love something. Lady?
I think I know I love when I want to be with the person, when I want to learn about the person or the subject or whatever, I'm in love with it. And so I want to know more about it.
Right.
And I can also, I think, surrender a little bit more.
Okay.
So it's easier.
Right.
That's how I recognize also that I love or not.
I appreciate it because I thought you would say, I really want to talk about love of diamonds. Or love of dress. No, but you're not. You're talking about love between you and person, which is the highest form of love. But what about love of person between love of person and love of diamonds? What's the difference? Like, let's say when you love stone or you love object or you love a person, what's the difference?
The person can love you back.
Excuse me?
The person loves you back sometimes.
What if not? What if he's Japanese? You know Japanese ideal of love? To love somebody so quietly that he doesn't even perceive that. And to continue love if he never replied to you. It's a little different.
Different from Brazilian love.
That's the Hollywood people. They always tell the truth. You know, he's from Hollywood. His mother from Hollywood. He was raised in Hollywood. Okay. Anybody else there? What do you have to say about love? Yes. We need men, you know, we just can't give it.
It's such a vast question, but for me, love is just the way I don't distinguish between love and consciousness.
Right.
So the capacity to perceive is brimming with love.
Right.
So whatever I am perceiving
right.
arrives as love. If
right.
it's here, it's love.
Right.
And then I can love someone and love my tea.
Right.
But the love capacity is what I am.
Okay.
It's rather than something else.
That's very important because according to Vedas, soul, which means living entity, not physical body, sat, chit, ananda. Mm-hmm. Sat means eternal, chit means conscious, mm-hmm. and ananda, happiness, search for love. So what you said is very important. So consciousness is inseparate from search of love.
Yeah.
I mean, not love today, but I will never give up because that's part of my fulfillment. In other words, the potential of love is part of my intrinsic existence.
Yeah.
It will never be, I may suffer today, but in the core of my own existence, love is the part of myself, which I have to express love. That's why it's very important for us to express love. That's why I said about Japanese. What the Japanese understood, actually, it's actually from samurai, yeah. that to express love sometimes is more important than receive love. See, because you may not be able to receive love properly, but to love, to feel that feeling, is more important for your individual self than just, you know, receive remuneration. But I'd like to ask, Monk, because there monks always have problem with love, except me. I have no problem with that. When I say love, monks have problems with love, because normally monks hate things that everybody else love. And when I say hate, I don't mean hate. I mean they reject certain so-called pleasures of this life, and we need to wonder why.
Well, if you're asking this monk, I have no problem with love.
Well, I'm sure you are.
I want the ultimate love, which is
yes.
love of God.
Right.
We know there's gradation everywhere within everything.
Right.
Mundane love, heavenly love, transcendental love, and ultimately love of Krishna, which is Krishna Prem, divine love. That's what we're after. So we're willing to sacrifice the lower types of love for the higher. And that's the quest. That's the path.
So if I understood you correct, you're not trying to limit yourself to some limited, physical, mundane definition of what love is. In fact, understanding nature of limited mundane, which means not eternal, not divine, like shadow of eternity. You are targeting for higher love, thinking if I can align all my goal towards that higher love, I can succeed. And the reason I've said this, because see, we just can't mix everything. When we're on the way for perfection, we kind of need to understand what is that exactly my diet? What is exactly good nutrition for me? What is exactly my exercise? We can say, I love all the sports, but we don't do all the sports. I love all the food, we don't do all the food. I love all the women, we don't do all the women. I love all the children, we have our own children. So we kind of define ourselves, okay, I'm trying to raise that child. I'm trying to do that exercise. I'm trying to take that food. So that means from unlimited choices, we have to accept something which is realistically for us. And thank you for your answer. It's very gradation of love. Also interesting thing that love has gradation. So that means gradations means discrimination. Like you said, I love cup of tea, but you know, if I would be in China with a tea master, a tea shifu, he would give me hundreds of different types of tea, or he would give me the same tea and I would drink it. And he would tell me the real taste coming after 5 times boiling water. So the first 4 times you drink this exclusive tea, it wasn't the real stuff. So it wasn't. Now I will boil again and you try it. And I would say, well, it's become more refined, more subtle taste. So it's about discrimination. The reason we're talking about all these things and sharing all these things, I highly appreciate every one of you. Thank you. Because we'd like to from the abstract reality, we're coming to a reality which we can serve and understand. This is higher. This is higher. There's something more higher, something more higher, something more higher. And finally, Bhakti Lalita said, there's divine love. And you say, well, what is divine love? And she said, love of Krishna. So this is interesting. Why Krishna? Is beauty mean something for every one of us? What does beauty mean for you? Because you're very beautiful, you dress very beautiful.
What does beauty mean?
Yes.
Well, if it's on the outside, then it's like appearance and it's relative to like what I like, like the flower.
Right.
If it's the certain type that I like.
Right.
So it's, I mean, it's very relative.
Is there any internal beauty?
Yeah, on the inside, it's like I don't need my eyes to know it.
Right. Well, you can feel it.
Yeah.
How you connect external beauty and internal beauty? Does it work together? Can it work together? Can it be harmonious?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, if I have this feeling in the inside, then everything can be beautiful.
Okay. What about person?
Including the persons.
Okay. Natasha?
I would agree the same. Beauty is expressed, and then when it's expressed and you resonate with it, I think you can find everything beautiful, but it has to start from the inside.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But how you recognize external beauty? How you can make conclusion this person beautiful?
I think it comes from how the person is reflected back
okay.
to me.
Yeah.
How everything is reflected back to me.
So we can say beauty in the eye.
Maybe that's where the expression comes from.
So if somebody blind, he can't see the beauty.
Then he can sense it. It's not limited to the
physical
sensor
eye.
Side. Yeah,
inner eye.
Yes, not
inner vision.
Inner vision.
Okay, wonderful. Sir, what about you? Because you always talk about consciousness. Now let's talk about consciousness and beauty.
I would say beauty is how God reminds you. It's like a portal to a feeling of love.
Right.
And it's just it's a glimpse of God.
Right. So that technically, if you see something beautiful in this world, you can say, I feel this is a touch of God, like an artist. You know, like basically God like an artist, right? He must be like an artist. What about you?
Hello.
I don't know about external beauty because I see some beautiful people.
Right.
Okay. And it just, it warms my heart.
Okay.
But I've seen some really what other people would find really ugly.
Right.
But such beauty. There's that as well. So it is in the eye of the beholder.
Okay.
So the external beauty, I mean, it's there. We all love to see it, right? But we love to see we love to have our sensations tickled. So right. I might find him handsome and him not handsome and him, well, you know, maybe. But it's a perception for me. Right. He may find it very different. So sure. Where beauty is concerned, I don't think there's one right. view that's right. like in the eye of the beholder. And internally, that's where the real beauty right. is. Yeah.
Once our teacher said a very interesting story about Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. Lakshmi Devi has a beautiful garland and she has a bird. What's her bird name?
Owl.
Owl. White owl. Do you understand what white owl is? Like, yeah. Crazy eyes. So the goddess of fortune gave that garland to that bird and said, you take that garland, you fly around the world and you give the most beautiful person. And that owl fly around the world and look for a most beautiful person. And it was like end of the day, got tired, come back to their little nest and saw her baby. Baby owl, like, And she said, that is the most beautiful. My baby is most beautiful. And give that garland to her baby. Would you like to comment that story? I like to hear something from you.
Eye of the beholder, and the mother will always be have that affectionate love.
So we can truly love something and someone if we have some connection with that person. Am I correct or not? Is that the conclusion?
You need to have a connection with the thing that, or in this case, the person that you love.
So if we suppose God is beautiful, but if we don't have connection with that beauty,
we cannot love or we cannot see the beauty.
Right. So that's why in Sanskrit, Krishna means all attractive. It's actually not says God. It says all attractive. We only can love and connect with something which is very attractive to us personally. Something has to be attractive to us. We have to appreciate and like it. It has to resonate with our heart. See, because if it does not resonate with our heart, however beautiful is this, we may say, well, it's not my taste. What do you think, sir?
I think that the more you connect to your sense of love as your presence, the more things appear beautiful.
Right.
It just gets wider and wider and wider. But
still, what we were speaking is in order to appreciate art or music or something divine or literature or poetry or person, you have to have some connection with that.
Mm. Well, the ultimate connection then would that we are one. So the love would be that
right.
you feel at one with all things. So
right.
you would love it as yourself, right. as one God.
Well, unity is connection. Mm. We are one. But also we can understand, I'm not you, you're not me, we're separate. Although we're sitting in the one place, sharing one idea, we still have different perception, different understanding, different appreciation, different rain. It's getting stronger.
It's beautiful.
Now we need the microphone. What about you, sir? What's your name?
Owl.
Now it's time for you to say something.
Okay. What would you like?
Well, we're sharing something, and I hope you've been following.
I'm not sure I fully follow. I'm mainly here to understand more than what I know, and I am confused so far.
We were speaking very simple things about our connections with beauty.
Got it. Are you after what I'm, my definition of beauty?
Your connections with beauty, how you understand this, how you appreciate.
Well, generally I notice I'm pulled towards things I find more attractive and pull away from things that are less attractive.
All right, let's do a little bit kirtan. We can only chant right now. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Adhita Gadadhara Shivakadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.